with people who are negative. They've got little dreams, little goals, and you have a defeated mindset. You cannot afford to let that to become normal for you. You've got to ask yourself, have I allowed myself to be programmed for mediocrity? Am I only accepting average in my career or in my marriage or in my self-esteem or in my attitude? Because let me tell you, it's not too late to change. If you will get rid of those strongholds and get in agreement with God and start believing you can rise higher and believe God for breakthroughs, then the God of the breakthrough will visit your house. You can still become everything God created you to be. You're not too old. Moses was 80 years old when God called him to lead his people out of Egypt. You haven't made too many mistakes. Jacob was known as a deceiver, and he became a prince with God. You haven't been through too many unfair situations. Joseph spent 13 years in prison for something that he didn't do, yet he became what God destined him to be. What am I saying? I'm saying there's still time to fulfill your destiny. Stop listening to the lies telling you you've reached your limits and you've gone as far as you're going to go and this is as good as it's going to be. Let me tell you, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be watching this if God didn't have something else for you to accomplish. He wouldn't have given you breath this morning if he didn't have another victory up ahead of you. You have an assignment. Say, I have an assignment. You have somebody to impact. You have a new mountain to climb. But it all starts in your thinking. Because if you don't think you can rise higher, then you never will. If you think you've reached your limits, then you already have. If you don't think you can break that addiction, then you never will. But let me tell you, thank you, Miguel. You got to realize those are wrong mindsets, strongholds, trying to hold me back in my life. Because the truth is, it's not that you can't rise higher. It's just you convince yourself that you can. Until you get rid of that thinking, until you hit the delete button, clear all that junk out of your mind, it'll keep you where you are. Just one thought telling you that you are inferior, you don't have what it takes. If you allow that thought to take root in your mind, it can keep you off balance your whole lifetime. Just one thought telling you, you made too many mistakes, nothing good's ever going to happen to you. If you believe that lie, it can keep you from your God-given destiny. Just one thought saying your problems, oh, they're too big, man. You're never going to get out of this mess. This is how it's always going to be. If you accept that, that thought can keep you from pressing forward, from seeing breakthrough, from experiencing the great things that God has in store for you. Can you say amen, somebody? That's why it's so important to renew your mind. So important to God and protect your mind. To identify any wrong mindset that's holding you back. And when thoughts of defeat or insecurity come to your mind, be quick to hit the delete button. Say, no, that's not for me. Those thoughts telling you, you're never going to accomplish your dream. Just say, no thanks. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm well able. Those thoughts, you're not good enough. You're a bit inferior to others. No, no, thank you. I know I'm accepted. I've been approved by Almighty God. Those thoughts telling you, you're never going to get out of debt. You're never going to get ahead financially. Just say, no, I know everything I touch prospers. My God shall supply all my needs. God is making a way, even where I don't see a way. Well, how about this? God's not pleased with you. He's never going to bless you. Remember what you did. Just say, no, I know God's not mad at me. He's madly in love with me. I know my past is forgiven. My future is bright. So I'm stepping into a new season in my life. Amen. I love what Carl Lewis did. He was an American track and field star. He won 9 Olympic gold medals for sprinting, for the long jump. And for years, all the experts said that no one could ever jump longer than 30 feet. A reporter once asked Carl what he thought about that, and he said, I know all the experts say it's impossible, but I don't listen to that kind of talk because I know thoughts like that have a way of slipping down to my feet. He was saying, if I dwell on that thought long enough, I know it's going to convince me I can't do it, and if I don't think I can do it, I know I'll never be able to do it. Do you know he's exactly right? If you don't have victory on the inside, you'll never have victory on the outside. Do you know later on that same year, Carl Lewis went on to jump more than 30 feet. He broke the world record, which still stands today. Let me ask you, are you allowing thoughts to sink down to your feet, as it were? Sink down to your emotions? Sink down to your ability to stifle your potential? You've got to learn to do what Carl did. You've got to start hitting the delete button. All the experts may have told you how impossible it is and how it's never going to get any better, but you've got to know this. God has the final say. And He wouldn't have put that dream in your heart if He didn't have a way of bringing it to pass. He wouldn't have given you that promise if He wasn't already planning on fulfilling it. Can you say amen? Amen. If you want to have breakthrough, you've got to reprogram your mind with thoughts of faith, thoughts of victory. When the thought comes, you have no future, hit delete. Replace it with Jeremiah 20:19. I know the plans I have for you, says or declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope and a future. When the thought comes, but you don't have any money, hit delete. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Even when it looks like there's no way and the thought comes, listen, man, you don't have the education. It's impossible. You're never going to get out of here. Delete, delete, delete. God's opening new doors for me. He's bringing the right people across my path. I will fulfill my destiny. You see, who told you that you have to stay in the projects? Who told you that the way that it's been is the way that it is always going to be in your life? Who told you can't accomplish your dreams? Who told you can't break that addiction? You've got to start hitting the delete button. You've got to start programming your mind with thoughts of favor and victory and the blessings that rightfully belong to you. It doesn't matter how it looks in the natural. You serve a supernatural God. Amen. I'm asking you to break out of that defeated mentality. Doesn't matter what's coming against you, man. Start believing that you're going to rise above every challenge, that you're going to overcome every obstacle, that you're going to accomplish every dream, every desire God has put in your heart. Believe for supernatural breakthroughs. Amen. Can you get a vision for that? Because it all starts on the inside of you. It's good to examine your thinking and ask God to show you if I have any wrong mindsets holding me back. Because, you know, often we don't even know why we think the way we do. We just accept it. Maybe it's because of the way we were raised or what we saw modeled growing up. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's right. We've got to be bold enough to ask, why do I think the way I think? Why do I think I could never do that? I could never be in management. Or I can't write that book God put in my heart. Why do I think I'll never go to college? Why do I think I'll never be a good parent? Why do I think this way? Those are strongholds, and very often they've been passed down for generations. And the problem is we just accept it. If we could realize why we think the way we think, very often that would set us free. Like this young couple I heard about. They recently got married. And the husband noticed every time she cooked a ham, she cut the end off of the ham. And he wondered why she'd waste part of the ham like that. So he asked her one day why, and she said, well, my mother made the best hams in the world, and she always cut the ends off. So he asked her mother why she did that. And go back for me, Miguel. She asked her mother, why did she do that? And his wife's mother, his mother-in-law, she said, well, my mother, you know, made the best hams in the world, and she always cut the ends off the ham. So he asked Grandma why she did it. And Grandma said, oh, the reason I cut the ends of my ham is because my pan was too small to fit the ham in. What's my point? Are you cutting the ends off and you don't even know why? Are you thinking a certain way and you don't even know? You don't even know why. Are you accepting things because that's the way that it's always been? Well, I'll never be successful. No one in my family has ever been successful. That's a stronghold. Let me tell you, you can get a bigger pan. Your parents and grandparents paid the price so you could live better than they did. Why don't you step into a new season? Why don't you enlarge your thinking? This is a new day. God wants to leave your children better off than what you were. Get a bigger vision. Hit the delete button on those limited thoughts. Well, you know, Pastor Steve, I'm negative and I'm depressed and I'm discouraged because my mom was always this way. No, you're going to make up your mind. You're not going to pass the same things down. You're going to set a new standard. You're going to ask yourself, why do I think this way? Could it be that you've allowed a stronghold to form and you don't even realize it's a stronghold? It's just the way it's always been. Things like, I'm not planning on going to college. No one in my family's ever been to college. I'm overweight because everyone in my family is overweight. I've got low self-esteem. I'm insecure because that's all I've ever seen modeled in my family. Just don't accept it. Reprogram your mind because the way that it's been is not the way that it has to stay. Many times we don't realize, but the reason we think and do things the way, you know, is because we're emulating what we saw growing up. And maybe they were good people, but perhaps they had issues they weren't dealing with. And if we're not careful, we take those same issues and we pass them down to our children. They had addictions, now we have addictions. They had low self-esteem, now we have low self-esteem. They were negative, now we're negative. You may be struggling with things right now and you think, why do I think this way? Why do I have these issues? It's very freeing when you realize it's just a wrong mindset that you have allowed to form. And if you just change your thinking by renewing your mind to the Word of God, your whole life will begin to transform before your eyes. Because God didn't make you faulty. God didn't make you less than. God created you in His own image. He made you as His masterpiece. Can you say amen? Amen. You're not supposed to go through life with addictions and little dreams and defeated mindset and low self-esteem. And that's not who you really are. That may be the way you've been trained, but you can be retrained. You can renew your mind. And as you do this, you'll break out of bondages and you'll break into freedom. You'll break out of mediocrity and you'll step into excellence. You'll break out of barely getting by and you'll step into abundance. In the name of Jesus, why don't you make the decision today that you're going to step into a new season, that you're going to believe bigger, that you're going to let go of the past, that you're going to move forward in your life, that you're going to break through into promotion, breakthrough into increase, breakthrough into better health, breakthrough into confidence and strength, and breakthrough into supernatural opportunities in the name of Jesus. Listen, as I wrap this up today, I want to give you 6 keys to see breakthrough in your life, and I'll go through these real quick. Number one, if you want to see breakthrough in your life, firstly, you've got to live breakthrough-minded. You've got to expect breakthroughs in your life. Number two, you've got to break free from wrong mindsets. And you got to make room in your thinking. It all starts right here in your thinking. And let me tell you, for some of you, if you just get rid of one wrong mindset, you'd break through to a whole new level in your life. Examine your thinking today. Are there strongholds holding you back? And if there are, hit that delete button and reprogram and renew your mind with what God says about you. If you get rid of those wrong mindsets and start thinking can-do possibility thoughts, faith thoughts, your life will follow those thoughts and you'll see breakthroughs. Number three, pray. James 5:16 says, tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Tremendous power is released when you pray. Number four, declare breakthrough. Job 22:28 says, you will declare a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. The light will come bursting in. You've got to declare breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. I'm expecting the God of the breakthrough to visit my house. I'm expecting breakthroughs financially, breakthroughs spiritually, breakthroughs in my health, breakthroughs in my family. I'm expecting to see breakthroughs. Declare it in the name of Jesus. Number five, praise God for breakthrough. Because praise brings breakthroughs. You can see this all over the Bible. Paul and Silas were in jail. The midnight hour, they start giving God praise. God broke them out of that jail. Jehoshaphat, surrounded by 3 armies, they put the singers out. Said, went into battle singing, praise the Lord. Great is His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. God gave them tremendous breakthrough. They overcame their enemies. Let me tell you, you should praise God. Praise God in faith before you see the breakthrough, because praise is what brings breakthroughs. And then number six, let me tell you another key to see breakthroughs in your life is give for breakthroughs. Giving brings breakthrough. And I'm going to kind of lead this into the offering here today, because you can see this over and over in the scriptures where giving brought breakthrough. Like the Shunammite woman, she gave to the prophet Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 8, and her son was raised from the dead. How about the little boy gave his lunch to Jesus? 5,000 men were fed, and they collected 12 baskets left over. Let me tell you, that was a breakthrough. Giving brings breakthroughs. We see this with the widow in 1 Kings 17, verse 8. It says, the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have commanded, I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the city, the village, he saw a widow, and she was gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as he was going to go get it, he called out, he said, please bring me a bite of bread also. And she said, I swear by the Lord God, I don't have a single piece of bread in my house. Do you think she needed a breakthrough? I don't have a single piece of bread in my house, she said. She said, I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little oil, cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal. Then my son and I will die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said, but make me a little bread from it first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and for your son. He said, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she went and she did as Elijah said. And Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord promised through Elijah. How many of you can see her giving brought breakthrough in her life, a breakthrough of provision? The Bible says in Deuteronomy 15, verse 10, give freely and spontaneously. Don't have a stingy heart. The way you handle matters like this triggers God, your God's blessing in everything you do, all your work and your ventures. The Bible says be careful when it comes to giving, because your giving is what triggers God's blessing on everything you do in your life. A lot of you haven't quite got a hold of that yet. A lot of you have, but some of you haven't. That giving is what triggers God's blessing and triggers breakthroughs. Your giving triggers breakthroughs. So let me tell you, if you will live breakthrough-minded, if you will break free from wrong mindsets, I believe, I declare breakthrough in your life. If you will praise God for breakthrough, if you will obey God and give, you'll see breakthrough. I believe in the name of Jesus, you breakthroughs, get ready. I declare breakthrough coming to your house. I declare you will overcome every obstacle. I declare you will defeat every enemy. I declare you will become everything God destined you to be in the name of Jesus. Do you agree that today? Tell your neighbor, get ready for breakthrough. Get ready for breakthrough. Now, as we get ready, today we get ready to give. We're going to go into the giving. We're going to go into the offering. And really, usually, Jill, are you going to help me out here? At the end of the year is we usually do our heart for the house offering. This isn't tithing. This is a spontaneous offering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, I'll close with this scripture. It says, beloved ones, we must tell you about the grace that God poured out upon the churches of Macedonia. For even during a season of severe difficulty, tremendous suffering, and extreme poverty, their superabundant joy overflowed into an act of extravagant generosity. Say extravagant. Just to let you know, we're not talking about people that were millionaires here. It says they were going through a tough time. but they overflow with extravagant generosity. Do you know what the word extravagant means? The word extravagant means exceeding what is reasonable, exceeding what is appropriate. The word extravagant means absurd. They gave in such a way it exceeded what would be reasonable, appropriate. It was on the bordering on the absurd. It says in verse 3, "For I can verify that they gave spontaneously, not according to their means, but far more than they could afford. They actually begged us for the privilege of sharing in the ministry of giving to God's holy people who are living in poverty." It says they, in verse 5, "They exceeded our expectations by first dedicating themselves fully to the Lord and then to us according to God's pleasure." That's why we appeal to Titus, since he was the one who got you started and encouraged you to give. Do you know that it's biblical to encourage people to give? Do you know what I'm doing right now? I'm encouraging you and I'm stirring you up. Do you know that that's a Bible thing to do? Do you know that God loves giving? It says in verse 7, "You do well and you excel in every respect, in unstoppable faith, in powerful preaching, revelation, knowledge, your passionate devotion, in sharing the love we've shown to you." So make sure that you also excel in this grace-filled, extravagant generosity. Make sure you excel in this area. Why? Because God loves extravagant givers. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves hilarious generosity. And the Living Bible says cheerful givers are the one God prizes, cheerful givers. Extravagant giving gets His attention, and it brings financial breakthroughs. If you need a financial breakthrough, I encourage you, give to God and watch and see what happens in your life. Can you say amen, somebody? Come and give God thanks and praise. If you got something out of this today, won't you give the Lord some praise today? And won't you tell your neighbor, tell them breakthroughs heading my way. Tell them financial breakthroughs are coming my way. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. That's awesome. That's awesome. That really stirs our faith, right? And so, family, as we prepare to give, as Pastor Steve said, this is the heart for the house is something that we do over and above. It's something we do through the month of December. It's a way we not just end the year, but it's the way we begin the new year.
That's right.
And we've been thinking about some of the things that we want to do. And, you know, sometimes as a smaller congregation, you can't actually physically do everything that you want to. We'd like to have all kinds of programs running ourselves, but it's not practical. But the way that we can, as a church, be a part of that is by partnering with other organizations that are doing more.
Right.
And so we have always, with our missions, we've supported various missions from this church, but one of them is Covenant Ministries. And I just want to make you aware of this, that as you give and as you tithe to this church monthly, we support Covenant Ministries in the Central Africa, run by Jan and Sue van der Merwe, and that we know personally. And they offer Bible training for church leaders. I mean, I could show you picture after picture. They do. They train people. They teach them the Bible so that the pastors are teaching the people the Bible. And then they give practical skills training. They teach them in, they take kids off of the street. They have a Kids World program. And they teach them practical things like computer skills, organic farming, sewing, auto mechanics, woodwork, so that they can go out and be good members of society and make a living. They feed and house and train street children. Now that we are part of it because we give financially as a church. So part of what you give goes towards missions.
You may not even realize that every month you've been supporting this mission work,
right,
in Central
Africa.
Right,
and so we've been doing that for numerous years. But
and they've trained thousands of pastors.
Thousands.
No exaggeration.
Thousands.
Thousands of
and
pastors.
And I'm not even mentioning
they
drill, they put water in villages, they do all kinds of things. Now this year we want to do something more on the community level.
Our local community.
And so we've done various things, but we wanted to really strategize. And Karen Brooks, stand up for me for a minute. God's given us a tremendous gift in Karen, Brooke. Praise she's God, just like, she's just a wealth of knowledge. And I've been to one of the Kiwani meetings with her, and she volunteers everywhere. Is that true, Roxroy? Your wife volunteers everywhere? They say give a busy person something to do, and they're the ones who get it done, right? Anyway, I was picking her brain, and I was like, Karen, we want to, as a church, do something. We want to do good things in our community. We want to help our community. We want to love our cities, our city and the cities around us, and give us some ideas. So she has said that we're going to pick one thing per month to be a part of. Yes. And the various things, these are some of the organizations she wanted to go on.
That we're going to support over this next...
stop at 12, right?
Over this next coming year.
Over the next coming year, these are things, not particularly in that order, but we're going to be a part of feeding and clothing the homeless. It may mean that we give towards it. We will give towards it financially, but we may offer the opportunity for you to go out and us as a group, as a church, go out and actually work and feed the homeless. They feed 200 people a day. Hannah's Home, assisting single pregnant women, individuals with disabilities, helping foster kids, assisting youth. There's the one with helping mothers and babies. So we might do that where we give diapers, where we go, whatever we can do. So I want you to know that we are looking to do more as a church community.
Absolutely.
And we're going to give more as a church community.
Yes, yes.
And we want that to be a part of our mindset.
Right.
So I'm excited about those
Me
things.
Too.
And we'll talk more about it in the
Amen.
Future. But go ahead, ushers. We appreciate...
So what you get ready to give today, what you need to do is look in your heart. Because I want you to give with faith. I want you to give, what's the word, with focus. And I want you to give with expectancy. Because let me tell you, there's 12 days left of the year. You can see a breakthrough before the year's over. And there are breakthroughs in 2022.
Yeah.
And your giving is connected. I remember the first time that I sat in a service and I felt the Lord telling me to give $1,000. I'd never given $1,000. Whoa, I was like, get behind me, devil. But the devil's never told me to give to the gospel. I never heard of the devil encouraging people
right.
to give to the gospel. It was the Lord. It was
right.
the Holy Spirit. And it was a big step of faith for me, to be honest with you, to write that $1,000 check. But just in the next few weeks, we saw amazing breakthroughs
right.
begin
I like that
to
word,
happen.
I like that word absurd, because when you say, when you give where it borders on absurd, it made me start laughing. And then you said hilarious generosity. That's what hilarious generosity is. It's like, I can't believe I'm doing this. So we're going to do what we,
That's
from
right.
our home, we, you just search your heart, you between you and the Lord, and but go ahead and stretch
and
yourself.
And we want to thank everyone who's given
yeah.
over this year to Ascend
Amazing.
Church, every faithful tither and giver. We thank you for your giving. If you're watching online, you can participate.
Yeah.
You can give online at ascendchurch.us. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and pray for us.
Father, we thank you for your blessing upon our lives. We thank you for this new year that lies ahead of us.
Thank you,
Father,
Lord.
Today we give.
Thank
we
you,
sow
Lord.
Seed. We put our
you,
trust in you. And I thank you, Father, for the great testimonies that are going to come out of what we've heard today and what we do today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And bless the food to our
Amen.
Bodies.
Amen. Thank you, ushers. You may go ahead. Remember, after service today, we're having our Christmas Around the World potluck lunch. We want to thank everyone who brought something. I had people texting me. They're bringing their speciality dishes. Carol made her ziti today, am I right? And Leo made the ziti today. And you also made ziti today. You did. We will have to have a competition here between you and Leo. I'm going to try both of them. Chris made his famous pulled pork. And then Karen, jerk chicken. Is that what it's called? Jerk chicken. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. I'll see you at the Christmas Eve service. See you Friday. Invite someone to church. God bless you. We'll love you, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday.